This past week, we had the opportunity to take 27 youthers, between the ages of 6th grade and 12th grade, out to Twinlow in Rathdrum. We had an amazing week. God really did show up. And we have a little video we want to show at first, and then we will come back up and talk about what God did in our lives. As you can see, we have a lot of fun. We make the students do a lot of crazy things. I'll tell you, when they had to carry those thieves' crosses, those of you that have seen the play, those crosses they're carrying up the hill, those are the thieves' crosses from the play. Don't worry, Dave, they did not get damaged. But when they had to carry those up the hill, some of them were not too happy with us. But we have a lot of fun. But the point is, obviously, Jesus Christ. That's what underlines everything that we do at camp. We play all these fun, intense games. I don't want to let you guys in on the secret. We play all these fun, intense games to basically wear them out. So by the time they get to night service, they're just so worn out, they kind of let their guard down, and God begins to move in their lives. So as you saw, our theme this year was the Eternal Games, kind of this play on the Olympics, because we just had the Winter Olympics this year, and our verse was Hebrews 12:1, which says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." And then as camp went on, we started moving into verse 2 more, "Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." So that was our camp verse, and like I said, everything we did was really surrounded upon those verses. The treasure hunt, it's hard to see on the video. The video doesn't do justice to what we really do there, because you're just getting quick snapshots, you know. Some of you may see some of the stuff and think, what the heck is going on? And the kids are all laughing because they know the context of it. But really, everything we did was surrounded upon that verse. And at this time, I would like to open it up to the students who would like to share anything that God laid on their heart or anything that God's laying on your heart right now. Who's going to be the first one? I saw hesitation. Zoe!
I think it's easier to go first than last, so I'll do that. So there's so much stuff that went on at camp, so I'll try and, like, fit it into as little as possible. But I'm Zoe, in case you didn't know that already. And going into camp this year, I was really excited because I was doing all this stuff. Like, I have a first job and, like, dance team, and I still felt like there was no purpose in what I was doing. So I was really excited to go to camp because, like Pastor Jim said, it's time to reboot, and I couldn't think of any way to do it by myself, so I knew camp would be that reboot for me. And so the first night, Pastor Jim talked, and he said, and they always say, like, why wait for the last night to, you know, go get prayer or let your walls down? And so I did that. I went and prayed with Brooke my first night, and because I was like, well, I don't care about anything in, like, my old life. Like, I just don't care anymore, so why should I care here? I'll just go get prayer, you know, just let everything happen. And I went to Brooke, and I just said, I just don't care anymore, and she immediately started crying and was praying with me and was like, this is how I felt 2 months ago. So God just really, like, used that to, you know, touch both of us. And that was, like, a big thing. And then I still feel, like, really empty, or I felt really empty at camp, even though I was, like, letting God in. I was like, God, just, like, fill me and everything. And I still just didn't feel him. And I was like, God, why don't I feel you? Like, I know you're there, but I just don't feel you. And so I just was like, I know you're there and I know you're doing it for a reason. Like, it's probably so that I can trust myself, I guess, because I was worried I was going to go back to the way I was in my old life when I got back from camp, and I didn't want to do that. So I was like, God, I need you. I don't want to go back to the way I was. So, but he's doing this so that I can be strong, even though I don't feel him. And then I got back from camp and was talking to my mom, and I was telling her how I felt kind of empty still. And she said that Pastor Jim, in his past message, talking about how the seventh year is like the rest year or something, and you have to work twice as hard when you go back. And so we both got chills, and it was just like, even though I felt dry because of that, I had to work twice as hard to feel, get my relationship with God back. So, and he's already blessing me in that. So I think that's it. But yeah.
Thank you, Zoe. Who's next? There we go.
I don't really like to go first because I always end up saying something that something that somebody else wants to say, and then I kind of like have like blanketing statements. But like, I have a few things to say. First off, for many of you to know that this was my last camp, and I just want to thank all of the camp staff, including Kim and Roger. I don't know where they're at, if they're here. But yeah, just everybody that's poured into me for the past 7 years, because it means a lot. And I know you guys give up a lot of time and spend a lot of time just planning out the camps and stuff like that. So I want to say thank you. And then, second off, I want to say, even though this is going to sound weird coming from an 18-year-old, but I want to say you're never too old for God to pour into you or for God to use you as a light in somebody else's life. Because, like, every year people ask me, like, oh, Josh, are you ready for camp? Are you ready to let God move? And I'm like, yeah, I am. And then I got there, and I was kind of thinking, like, okay, I'm just going to coast through my last camp. I'm going to play some games. It's going to be fun. It's going to be nice to have some time off because I've been working all summer. Camp was my most time off all summer. But I showed up with, like, the mentality that's like, oh, this is going to be fine. Like, God's going to, like, make the sixth graders cry, but I'm just going to be hanging out. But, yeah, Pastor Jim came, and he said, like, I don't remember the exact words, but it was just a message, like, don't come not expecting anything, you know what I mean? And I just want to say that that's a message for everybody, that never think you're too old or you've done too much or you've experienced too much. God can still speak to you and definitely can still use you. Second thing I was going to say is, after Wednesday night, after the message, like something that was just laid on my heart was that we don't have to be defeated. We don't have to feel like, oh, this is life, I guess, because we are given victory in Christ. And, like, it's really, like, we give up our victory when we let Satan tempt us, and he only has a grip on our life if we give him one. And, like, after our Wednesday night message, I was really just mad. I made a fool of myself, you know what I mean? I let Satan, like, grip me, and I let him tempt me and stuff that I shouldn't let happen. And it's like the kind of message I had in my mind is like, let's go out there and let's kick some satanic booty. You know what I mean? Because last year my goal was to think more spiritually and think about how things are working in the spirit world, and I didn't really do a good job of that. But then when I went back to camp, I thought like, wow, this is what's really going on here. You know what I mean? And those are just my thoughts. Yeah.
Thank you, Josh. This senior class, most people don't know this, but I came into youth in 2011, which was Josh's sixth grade year. So Josh's first camp and my first camp were actually the same. So it's bittersweet to see this senior class go, because we've almost grown up together in a weird sense. I was like 18 years old. He was 11. But but the past, 7 years, watching him and Keegan and Glory and Sam, watching them all grow up, it's been a great pleasure of mine, and I'm really going to miss them. I am. So, who's next? Mackenzie!
So, this year was my third year, and, like, I was really nervous to go. I didn't really want to go, but when I talked to Brooke, she told me that I didn't, it was just, like, not really a choice, because, I was just like, okay, well, I'm going to go, and I was, anxiety was holding me back, and I knew that, like, it was going to, like, God was going to free me from the anxiety, and I was scared to leave, like, homesick. Like, I was scared I was going to be homesick. And the first night I left, I was, like, when we first got there, I was really nervous, but the first night, like, I was really, like, happy, and I didn't really think about home that much. I kind of just forgot. And my mom would text me, and she'd tell me, like, do you die yet? Because you're not texting me back. And I... like, I texted her, like, sorry, I forgot I had a phone. And, like, the first night we were talking to, I wanted to go talk to my sister because she was really the closest one I had to home. And when I talked to her, I was really nervous during worship because I didn't know what I was going to say. But when I first got to her, I was going to tell her, like, that I'm really nervous and I don't know what to do anymore because I can't hear God anymore. And I turned around and Brooke was right there and she just like gave me a hug and she's just like, can I pray for you? I'm like, yeah. And it's just gonna sound really cheesy, but Brooke is like, I'm really happy that I have her because she's like another sister to me. And she, this is also going to sound cheesy. She's like my hero because she's like, when I need her, like she's there. And the last night, I wanted to talk to my friend Addie because it was her first camp and she's not a person to really open up. And I wanted to tell her that if she ever needs me, I'm always there. And I was talking to my sister, and I turn around, and she is crying, and I've never seen her cry. And she just, like, I rub her in my arms, and I tell her, that, like, if she ever needs me, I'm right there. And it just, like, made me feel really good.
Amen. Thank you, Kenzie. Brooke is my hero, too, Kenzie. Anyone else? Shia! For those of you wondering, yes, this is a camp injury. Okay.
Well, I'm like really nervous, so. Before I went to camp, I didn't really feel like God was working in me. I was just empty. But the first night when I got prayer from Brooke after that, I just felt like God was in me again, and I wasn't so, like, dry and stuff. And, like, before camp, I was so scared to, like, raise my hands in worship or sing or anything. But after camp, I just felt like I don't have to be scared anymore to do that. And I just, it was, like, I was so nervous to go to camp, but I'm really glad that I did. And it just feels like God's working in me again. That's pretty much it.
Amen, Shia. I gotta say this about Shia. I don't know if I've ever met somebody so tough in my life. She sustained that foot injury on literally within the first 3 hours we were there. And we thought, oh, it's just a broken toe, you're fine. And then the next day we did the treasure hunt, which if you've ever been a part of that, you know how much running it is. It is so much running. And she ran through the entire thing. And then she goes to the doctor that night and says, yeah, I've got a broken foot. And we're like, what? We made you run on a broken foot? So she is a tough one right there. Thank you for sharing, Shia. Who's next? Oh, you got me right there, Merrick. You guys know I can just sit in awkwardness. It doesn't affect me. Okay. Going once. Going twice. Keegan. You're not going to pass out. Come on. He looks so happy, doesn't he?
You got to stay right here. So any of you who know me know that I hate doing this. So stumble through this with me, all right? I want to start out like Josh, thanking all of our leaders and our past leaders, Kim and Roger. I see Roger back there.
Kim's up there.
Kim's up there. And then
Brooke, Aaron, you two right there.
I'll cry.
And Bron, sorry.
One big thing that stuck out to me this camp was just like the camp verse, throw off your hindrances. Don't allow things in the past or things that you've done in the past, things that affected you in the past, to drag you down in the present and your future. And I don't know, through that mindset, I've met some really cool people in the youth I didn't really know all that well before, and I'm just really thankful for all of you guys and proud of you guys for coming up here and speaking, because I hate it, so I can't imagine you guys. Thank you.
Good job, good job. Okay. Is that it? Okay, here we go.
So I wasn't planning on going up here, but this year for camp was not only a year for me to open my heart and trust and surrender to God, but it was a year for me to go closer to all of the leaders and some of the youth. And I'm just really thankful for everybody and building me up. And I just want to say thank you to you guys.
Okay, last call. Adrian, I see you trying not to make eye contact down there. Okay, if that is it, then we will have, I'll have all the leaders come up and all the people who spoke, please. Brandon, you're coming up too. Jim's real happy about being up here too. So basically, this is our leadership team this year. As you can see, Bron, he had his meniscus repaired on August 9th. And if you've been to Twin Low, if you've seen it, if you saw the pictures, it's literally uphill both ways. So, and then Sue as well, what an amazing addition to our team. We love having her. Yes. She always keeps the energy up. But I want to thank all of you for helping, putting your time and effort. It takes a lot to prepare a camp. You don't really know unless you're on this side of it. So thank all of you. Thank you to everyone who drove, Stephanie, Belinda, Kina. We couldn't have got the kids there without you. So you're a very big part of this. So what we're going to do is we're going to go through our messages. Just a little brief synopsis. I know you're a pastor. Try to be brief. So, a brief synopsis of what our messages were, and we'll start with Jim, because he was Monday night.
So Monday night I talked about Paul and referenced him because he often refers to our walk with the Lord as a race. And one of the things that I brought out is, are you even in the race? And then, you know, some people wear the uniform. They look like they're in the race, but they're running their own course, doing their own thing. And if you could imagine someone in an Olympic race who got at the starting blocks and then just decided to run whatever course they wanted to, the Olympics probably wouldn't honor that very much. And neither does God. We can pretend, we can wear the uniform and fool some people some of the time, but we're not fooling God. So are we in the race? And if we are in the race, we're running the race according to him and his course and the plans that he has for us, not our plans. Because if we're running the race with the uniform on and we're doing our own thing, it doesn't matter. So, quick enough? How's that?
Pretty good, pretty good. Okay, Tuesday morning was Braun. Carly, sorry.
So I spoke on like how to run the race. So my message was with and with a purpose. Running this race first and foremost starts off with God. We have the Holy Spirit in us. So it is God with us. We need to, I told the youth and myself that we need to prioritize our relationship with him and set apart time to get to know him and for him to know us. And then the next with is with others. God didn't intend for us to run this race alone. And not just anyone, like Pastor Jim said Monday night, and he's been saying for years, is that we need to surround ourselves with others who will lift us up. And then another big one was that we need to be present in other people's lives. Listening to the youth and, like, going in, you know, us leaders think, like, we have such a strong, like, body in our youth, but then hearing that they do struggle, and it's not until they come out and say it. And so I thought it was important for them to realize that we need to invest in each other's lives and get to know each other and be involved. And then we also need people to keep us accountable. And then the last part was with a purpose. Our purpose is from God. I feel like a lot of the youth struggle with wanting to know like what their exact purpose is in this life. But his first purpose is for all of us, is that we would all become a new creation in him. His plan for our renewal is that we would throw off all the things that hinders and entangles us and start over again each day with him. I reminded them that everyone's race looks different. We often can become discouraged when we begin to look side to side for guidance and affirmation. But instead, we need to look directly to him. We need to fix our eyes on Jesus. And then I mentioned Jeremiah 29:11, and that verse that has no restrictions, no limitations to our age. God has a purpose for you in every stage of your life. And then I mentioned trading in the thought that our purpose has to be this huge ordeal, like traveling the world or doing all these over-the-top things. But instead, we just need to think of it as a daily task and not just something that we do once in our life. It's not an accomplishment. It's an everyday thing that God has for us to do. So it needs to be every second of every minute of every day. Each day we need to choose to be with God, with others, and if every day you are walking in obedience to God, then you are doing his purpose.
Okay, so I'm going to be speaking for Angela. She unfortunately couldn't be here today. Her message, she spoke Tuesday night, and her message was the eternal games. And she basically started out with the verse in Matthew that says, you are the light of the world. You know, you don't light your lamp and put it under a bowl. And she says, we are the light of the world, all each and every one of us. And she equated it to, you know, here we have electricity, we have lights. In Jesus' day, what was light? Light was fire. So she had an acronym for fire. The F standing for fan the flame, and that we are all to fan our spiritual flame. We are to find what fans our spiritual flame. The I was increase your brightness. And she asked a really good question because she says we're all supposed to be bright for Jesus, right? And she asked, what diminishes your flame? Like, what lowers your brightness? Because we are to increase it so that the whole world can see the light that we have. R was remember who you are in Christ. And then E was eternity matters most. So it was a really great message. She asked some really tough, probing questions that even got me thinking. So that was Angela's message. Wednesday morning was Braun. Here we go.
So I wanted to challenge all of the youth to look at their life and decide what type of race they were running. And Pastor Jim always talks about that we could be baby Christians, that we're never actually growing in our walk with the Lord. So I wanted to know, are you running a destination race, or are you running around a track and field like at school? Is your life constantly a circle, no hills, nothing changes, you're just constantly running around and around, or are you running from A to B? A to B race, you're growing. You have hills, you have challenges, you have growth in your life. Both of them running the same distance, the same time, or the same amount, but who covers more ground? So I wanted to ask them to look at their life and decide, are they just running in a circle, never growing? Their faith is never growing. Or are you running from A to B? And I think we can all probably look at our life and challenge ourselves. Are we actually growing in Christ?
Okay, and I spoke on Wednesday night, and the title of my message was The Game Plan. If you look up in the dictionary, it says a game plan is a strategy worked out in advance, especially in sports, business. I see Josh, he's smiling at me. Or politics. And I said that God had a game plan from the beginning. He had a strategy to win. His plan was always for him to walk with his creation, always to have a relationship with man. And he had a game plan to accomplish that from the beginning. You can see it in Genesis 3 when he tells Satan that you, cursed are you. You may strike the heel of the offspring of Eve, but he will ultimately crush your head. And that was God's game plan to bring us back into relationship, which we know was accomplished through Jesus Christ. And then I said, God also has a game plan for your life. So we need to seek him out, figure out where he's leading us, and then we need to make a game plan for ourselves. How are we going to accomplish what God wants us to accomplish? Because I can say, yeah, God has this plan for me. I'll say for me. I have this plan for God for me to be a pastor, but I'm just going to sit and watch TV 24/7, never going to study the word, and then how good of a pastor would I be? That game plan would never be accomplished. So God has a game plan for us, but we have to in turn make our own game plan, our own strategy to accomplish that. And I said, I base it off Hebrews 12, 1 through 3, and I gave 5 steps on how to accomplish the game plan. Number 1 was to throw off everything that hinders. And I love Pastor Jim said this in his message as well, but Paul, or the writer of Hebrews here, he says hinders and then throw off the sin. So the things that hinder us, they're not necessarily sin, but they can still hinder us in our walks and our running this race. And then number 2 was to expel sin from your life. It says right there that it entangles us. It trips us up. So expel sin from your life. And I said like the black plague, because if you had the black plague, you would want that gone. And that's how we should be with sin. But the problem is we get complacent. And we say, well, I may be a gossip, but at least I'm not murdering people, so I'm not as bad as those guys, so this sin's not that bad. So we need to flee from sin. We need to do whatever it takes. I said, number 3, we need to look forward, because we see the race by looking forward. If we're spending all our time looking back as to where we came from, to what's in our past, we'll never see what is forward in front of us, the race that God marked out for us. Number 4, I said we need to persevere, because this walk is hard. It's a marathon. It's not a sprint. And there will be times where things get tough in our walks. Don't we know that? Amen. But in those times that we get to persevere, and James says in chapter 1:12 that blessed are those who persevere, because when they have finished the race, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. And then lastly, I said, we need to fix our eyes on Christ, because if we remember why we're doing this, if we remember who we're doing it for, then it will keep us in proper perspective of why we run this race in the first place. So that was my message, the game plan. And then Thursday morning was Brooke capping it all off.
Okay, so my message was titled, On His Mark, It's Set, Go. And so I feel like something God has been really putting on my heart is the fact that we so often, when we think about our walk, we think about how we're born in sin, which is true. But when we think about that, we're constantly thinking about how we can live this life now, becoming better, or make this the best life now, instead of having that eternal mindset like Aaron had. So I started off on his mark. God is the mark. And in the beginning, before sin even was in the world, everything was good. And it's so important for us to remember that and have that mindset, because then we're trying to get back to that. And the only way we can get back to that is back to that is through the plan that is set. So on his mark, it's set. It's set through Jesus. Jesus is the one who can get us back to that. So instead of trying harder or feeling like we can't do it on our own, it's already there. And then through the plan, we go. And so once we're saved through Christ, we have the Holy Spirit in us to go. And one thing I was really thinking about, too, is, yes, we live in a sinful world where death, hurt, pain, and everything is here. No one needs to be told that. We all experience it. The Holy Spirit, not only does it enable us to go, but it enables us to persevere, because without it, we won't be thoughtful of that hope. We won't have that mindset of what life will be like again when everything is good again with God in eternity. And one thing, one verse that like I put towards the end of my message, but it's Psalm 110, 92-93. If your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have preserved my life. So we know that through Christ, the law is fulfilled. So we can change this to, if Christ had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. I feel like there's so many, we know there's so many people in this world who are not walking with Christ, who are suffering, who are in pain, and think that there's no way out but death. But we know through Christ, we have life with him. So I really wanted to encourage the youth that to remember that that Holy Spirit in them is the hope that others need in their lives. And so even as Christians, we can come down in those deep pits of the moment that this life has, because we are living in a world where there's death, sin, hurt, pain, depression, anxiety. But with that Holy Spirit in us, we can encourage ourselves, and we need to encourage each other. And so I took it back to the verse in Romans that says, we are more than conquerors through Christ who gives us strength. We are more than conquerors. It's a together thing. We are a body, and so we need to encourage and uplift each other. So God really wrapped up all the messages with the body, with the eternal mindset, with remembering who we are through Christ. So, yes, that was my message.
So as you can tell, we do a lot of messages, a lot of quiet time. It's really focused on Jesus. And again, I just want to say thank you to everyone who came and helped and spoke. Jesse, thank you for bringing the boat up. That was amazing. Sue, for driving the boat, Captain Sue. And I want to say a special thank you to this man right here, Brandon Trono. His first, yeah. It was his first camp, and it was really trial by fire for him. So I thanked Keenan Brandon. Thank you, Keenan Brandon, again, for coming up, helping with the treasure hunt, driving. Really, we can't, like Brooke said, we are a body, and we can't do this without all of you. We really can't. Thank you to everyone who donated scholarships and prayers. I know there was a lot of prayer going up for us, so thank you so much. We're going to close now with one more worship song, and then we will have you dismissed. I don't know if it's early or late, but we're going to go with it. In his name is the victory, amen. Lord, we thank you for this day, God. Again, we thank you so much for what you accomplished this past week. We thank you that you work in all of our lives, and your word says that if we seek you, we will find you, God. I pray that these students would continue to seek you as they go about their normal lives, God. And as they go back to school, I pray that they would have the strength, that they would call on your name to give them strength, that they could be a light in their schools, and that they could have the heart to want to reach people for you, God. We are called to make disciples no matter where we are at, whether we are in school, sixth grade, eighth grade, senior, college. No matter where we are at, we are called to make disciples and to bring people into this life with you, God. I pray that you would give them the strength. Give us all the strength to be a light wherever we may find ourselves this next week. God, be with those that are hurting, with the brokenhearted. Help them to know that in your name is victory, and only in your name is there victory. Lord, we thank you for what Jesus Christ accomplished on that cross, and that he rose again so that we may have life and have it to the full. Dismiss us now with your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You are dismissed.